Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we are doing over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at Jarko underscore Bucs, at DHarrison82, and at Bucs underscore Nation. We'd like to welcome in all of our new and returning listeners. If you're new to the show, welcome. Please subscribe, leave a five-star review. It does help other Buccaneers fans find us. And if you're into the draft, the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast relaunches on September 20th with brand new host Eric Crocker brings the player scouting and Ryan Tracy brings the analytics. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. And just like the Locked On Bucs podcast, Locked On NFL Draft is free and on all platforms.
Yeah, Eric Crocker has been a very, very solid addition to the network. For those who don't know, former NFL cornerback, San Francisco 49ers cornerback, now co-host of the Locked On 49ers podcast. And then now I'm doing this NFL draft thing. So, I mean, literally you get insight and opinions from a guy who played the game for a living and played it fairly well for a very good amount of time. James, speaking of people who play this game, though, we got some news concerning some Buccaneers, including one player released. And then we've got some audio from Bruce Arians from Monday, from his day after press conference there conducted on Zoom. And then it's Takeaway Tuesday. I finally get to say Takeaway Tuesday because this is our first Takeaway Tuesday episode. Our takeaways last week came on Monday because of the Thursday night game. But Takeaway Tuesday here, we'll give our four takeaways. We've got some Bucs fans who called in, as well as we've got a very packed playlist here for today's episode. So let's get right to it with some news. Linebacker Kevin Minter and practice squad wide receiver Travis Johnson being placed on the reserve COVID-19 list on Monday. And then cornerback Herb Miller, who I at one point predicted to make the active roster, was released from the practice squad. So what do you think of those moves? Obviously, Kevin Minter is going to be the biggest part of this, having been placed on that reserve COVID-19 list.
Yeah, I mean, if all goes well, according to the protocols, I do believe that Minter could still play on Sunday in Los Angeles. It's 48 hours of being asymptomatic, and then you have to have the two negative tests. So he does have time to come back, and we do know that the Bucs are 100% vaccinated. So, you know, this is a situation where he could legitimately play, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on. As far as Herb Miller is concerned, this honestly surprises me. You know, I was with you. It wouldn't, you know, I thought he was going to be a member of the active roster, and to see that he's released from the practice squad, you kind of wonder what's going on there. Is it a move that they needed to make in order to make room for something else? Of course, we have some other cornerback rumors going on that maybe they are starting to set things up in preparation of another move. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really sure, but I was surprised to see this news when I awoke from my afternoon nap.
Yeah. I mean, there's a corresponding move that could be coming because of Herb Miller being released. And of course we're going to spin up all kinds of speculation and have no basis to do so. But yeah, Kevin Minter, I mean, I think if anything, the timeline is shrunk just a little bit because the team does have to travel to Los Angeles and they'll do so on Saturday. I mean, at the latest, I don't know, if I was traveling to Los Angeles, I might do it Friday, so that we have Saturday to kind of get over our jet lag and then play Sunday, but I'm not running the team. We'll see. But if the team does travel Saturday, obviously he's got a clear protocol in order to travel with the team. Otherwise he wouldn't be in Los Angeles to play for the game. But speaking of people who are available for today's episode, James, Bruce Arians, head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the 2-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, spoke to media on Monday, and we've got some clips that we're going to listen to, and then we're going to react to what Bruce had to say. First thing we're going to talk about, though, is the exorbitant. I don't know if that's not a word.
Exorbitant.
There's something. The large amount of passing yards that this Buccaneers defense has given up so far in the 2021 NFL season.
Hey, Bruce, you scored two defensive touchdowns yesterday, right? So good on you. But we're not used to seeing your defense, you know, being 30th against the pass and having just two sacks. So for, you know, facing teams that threw it almost 50 times a game, I'm just wondering if you feel like their teams are doing something to negate your pressure, or you'd like to improve that aspect?
No, so I think it's just 100 and some passes we've had thrown against us because they're not running the football anymore. You know, it's one of those things. So I thought our front four played really, really well. We got a lot of pressure, tipped a lot of balls. You know, we got three interceptions, two of them off tipped balls. So I think it's just the volume of passes that we're seeing. We didn't, you know, we kept them in front of us for the most part. Missed a couple of tackles that was disturbing to me on a really tough tackle. And Cordarrelle Patterson is a game-breaking type of guy. But we got to tackle a little bit better. But, no, those numbers, I think, you know, for 100 and whatever passes we've seen now in a couple of weeks, it's we're going to give up some yards.
Yeah, this is something that you kind of expect, I guess, at this point, because, you know, teams are going to pass a lot on this defense. They realize that they're not going to get anything going on the ground. We saw that in week one against Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, who both had good games against the Los Angeles Chargers. And then yesterday with Cordarrelle Patterson and Mike Davis, they really couldn't get much going on the ground either. So teams kind of have to adopt that run through the air mentality with the short, quick passes and try to generate a run game that way. And so, they're seeing a huge amount of passes against them. And, you know, the Bucs are 30th in passing yards allowed, with the Cowboys and Ravens being worse, but they're 9th in the NFL in yards allowed per pass attempt. So, you know, it's one of those situations where you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? You know, you're so good at stopping the run that now your pass defense is going to be a little bit more susceptible because teams are going to opt to go that route against you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what BA is talking about, you know. So it's one thing for a lot of passing yards to be happening, but when, like Bruce said there, when your opponent is passing just nonstop, you saw the Dallas Cowboys basically completely eliminate Ezekiel Elliott from their own game plan in order to attack this Buccaneers defense because they knew they couldn't run with him. So, I mean, if you're in fantasy, look, if you got a running back playing the Bucs, I mean, you should have learned this lesson last year. But if you didn't already learn it now, don't start that running back because people are not they're not having success running against the Bucs, and now they're not even trying to run against the Bucs. But let's flip over to the other side of the ball, James. BA was asked about his own defense and specifically about his Bucs defense not getting a whole lot of sacks in the stat sheet so far in 2021.
Hey, Bruce, your front seven has gotten some pressure at times throughout the first two games, but you only have two sacks. How big of a concern is that for you in not getting the quarterback on the ground? And are your guys up front winning enough of their one-on-ones?
Oh, yeah, well, they're winning a bunch. I mean, Vita's killing his guys. Just, you know, he's knocking him into the quarterback and not sacking him. But I think we're getting a ton of pressure. We knock Dak down a bunch of times, and knocking him down sometimes is good as sacking him. But they feel it too. But, I'd like to see some more sacks.
So, again, this is something that it goes back to what we just talked about and the fact that teams are running through the air. They're getting quick passes out and they're trying to get rid of the ball as fast as they can. And that's why we've seen the drop in sacks. We've seen pressures. We saw Devin White have two opportunities against the Atlanta Falcons where he had Matt Ryan dead to rights and couldn't bring him down. So they're getting pressure, but now, instead of that pressure causing teams to throw the ball faster than they want to, it's almost kind of, it looks like it's almost playing into their hands where they're designing these passes to come out quickly. So the pass rush is getting there the same time they're already wanting to throw the ball. You're the only teams in the NFL with fewer sacks coming out of Sunday's games are the Packers and Lions, who haven't played yet as we're recording this. So, you know, it's something that they're going to figure out, and Todd Bowles is going to have to come up with some new creative ways to be able to get to the quarterback. But I don't think it's anything to be really super concerned about yet.
Yeah, it's really not. And right now, we saw it on Sunday with two interceptions from Mike Edwards there to seal the game. The opportunities are going to be there because the pass rush is getting home. They're just not getting the sacks. And while people want those, obviously the effectiveness is what they're looking for. They're still getting that. And of course, throwing the ball against the Buccaneers defense could be about to get a little bit more risky thanks to a potential move that everybody's been speculating about. Of course, Bruce Arians was asked about that as well on Monday, speaking to the media.
Hey, Bruce, I didn't get a chance to ask you this yesterday, but I know you guys as an organization talked to a lot of players. You talked to Richard Sherman, who obviously was out there. Is there a scenario like, would you have to lose another starter, or is he a guy much like Antonio Brown last year that could come in, accept his role and play? I mean, just what's your thoughts on Sherman right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, Jason's reached out. We've got to see what he's got other things going on too. And just a matter of I coach the ones that we got and let him handle the rest of that. And we'll kick the tires on some other guys too. But yeah, it's just a matter of, no, we'll talk and see. And if it's a right fit, it's the right fit and we'll move on it.
Yeah, this is, it's a little bit surprising, but at the same time, it's not really surprising. I wrote it up for BucksNation.com and yeah, more information was coming out throughout the morning. Tom Pelissero with the initial report, then Ed Werder coming out and saying the Bucks wanted to evaluate how the secondary did against the Falcons. And if they struggled, you may see the talks with Sherman intensify. So this is a legitimate thing to keep an eye on. What it's going to boil down to is the financial compensation. Sherman had some teams interested at the beginning of free agency. He wanted a lot of money. Is he willing to set that money aside and compete for a championship while he continues to work on getting his mind right and potentially cash in next offseason? We're going to have to wait and see, but you know, this is something that the Bucks are preparing for with that move with Herb Miller? I'm not really sure, but it is a legitimate possibility.
Absolutely. Something to keep an eye on, of course. And who knows, as talks start to heat up a little bit, there may be some prop bets that show up about where Richard Sherman might land in the 2021 NFL season if he decides to play at all. And of course, you only have speculation rumors like this, right? Because football is fully back 2 weeks in to the NFL season now as you're listening to this. And as always, betonline.ag is your number one spot for all your pro and college football action this season. They've got a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head over to the website today, sign up, and you'll get a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up when you use the promo code Locked On. Whether it's football, basketball, boxing, or your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What's up, boys? Tyler from Boston. Good win. Always good to be starting out 2-0. And, you know, it's kind of a shaky third quarter, but, man, the Bucks really put it together in the fourth quarter. You know, of course, everyone's going to be praising Mike Edwards as they should. He had a really good game. Just had a quick question, you know, not to be negative or anything, especially in the wake of a Bucks win. But, you know, I saw that the Bucks were kind of having some trouble with penalties. The secondary, you know, of course, looks a little bit shaky, and it didn't help when, you know, there were some injuries. And the offensive line let some of the players get back there and sack Brady, I think it was 3 or 4 times. So, you know, what do we really take away from this game? Is it, you know, it's week 2 and things aren't really put together quite yet? Or are the Falcons actually maybe better than a lot of people thought they were? Because I thought they looked really good. I just want to hear your thoughts on that. Thanks.
72 here at the Locked On Bucks podcast. Dave Harrison and James Jarko. Takeaway Tuesday. You can find us, of course, on Twitter at DHarrison82, at JYarko_Bucks. The show is at Locked On Bucks. Tyler from Boston. Brother, good to hear from you again. And listen, so I'm going to take part of this question, James. I'll leave the rest for you. As far as penalties are concerned, you know, penalties are never good, right? But there was really two kind of periods there. There was, first off, there was the Ryan Jensen penalty. That one, look, I love Ryan. I love his intensity. I love kind of the anger that he plays with. But James, we had him on the show, I think, 2 years ago now, and we talked about these penalties, and he said that he knows that the referees are looking for him to do something stupid, so he's got to keep himself from doing something stupid. Well, what did he do? Well, he did something stupid, and I guarantee you that Ryan would admit that as well. It was a one-off so far right now, you know, hopefully. And he puts those things in check because those are things that can kill drives and, of course, hurt your team's chances of winning. Now, are the Falcons better than maybe what everybody thought they were? We talked about this during our lead up to the game in the previews. I predicted a 10-point spread in the win, right? 31-21 was my official score. Not all that far off from the Atlanta Falcons score. They scored 25-31 for the Buccaneers. I mean, if you take that 14 points off the 48, you end up with 34 points. So really, outside of the kind of unusual, right, I think it was what the fourth time in recent history that the team has had the two pick sixes in a game. My line wasn't very far off. What I would say is that, yes, they're better than what a lot of people are giving them credit for, but no, they're not as good to like be they were in a fourth quarter situation where the Falcons were down less than a touchdown and they had the ball potentially able to take the lead over this Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster. They're not that good. That's how poorly the Buccaneers kind of started executing there in the middle part of the third quarter. So it's a little bit of a yes and no answer on that question for me.
Yeah, I absolutely think that they're better than what they're getting credit for. I mean, you and I, you picked them to finish second. I picked them to finish third in the division, but I had said at the time, you know, it could be a matter of finishing one game behind the Saints. I see them as being, you know, neck and neck in this race. And, you know, Ross Jackson and Julian Council of Locked On Saints and Locked On Panthers both picked the Falcons to finish dead last. And I don't think that is a correct assessment of how good this team can actually be, but it's going to take time. It's going to take some working together and some, you know, taking some lumps in order for this team to start to reach their potential as they learn all these new schemes and all these new playbooks. But you do have to tip your hat to them because they're a much better team than what they showed in week one. And they put up quite a fight against the Buccaneers until things got out of hand there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And of course, looking it up, the Buccaneers are the second most penalized team through week two. Again, the Lions and the Packers have yet to play, but they're far enough behind the Buccaneers that they probably won't catch up unless they have a really, really bad game. Philadelphia Eagles, the only team with more penalties right now with 22, leading the NFL. So great question from you, Tyler. Great conversation. And that's going to lead us right into our takeaways. Again, it's Takeaway Tuesday. So James, the first takeaway today coming from the week two win over the Atlanta Falcons is that Ronald Jones can be dropped from all fantasy football rosters, except dynasty leagues, I'm going to say, because his usage rate has just gone through the floor. And you know, look, Bruce kind of consistently says, you know, it's not anything like personally, he doesn't like dislike Ronald Jones or anything like that. And listen, I'm going to give a little bit of credit here because Jake Arians came on our show not 2 weeks ago. And we asked him, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, which running back is the one to carry? He mentioned Ronald Jones. And if BA dislikes Rojo, I would think that Jake probably knows that. And I don't think Jake would come out here as a fantasy football expert. And he's got a show that touts him as such and all that stuff and say, well, Rojo is probably the guy I would carry if I had to pick one. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's personal. I think it's what BA said on Monday when he was asked about Rojo and his performance. Ronald Jones knows the scheme. He knows the plays. He knows his responsibilities. He's just not doing it very well. And look, I've been a huge Rojo supporter, right? But then you have that fumble, and I get that fumbles will happen from time to time, but he didn't have the ball secure. And then we come here in week two, and not only does he miss a blitz pickup, James, he blew that blitz pickup. Like, he bounced so far inside that offensive line formation where that hole was. I don't even know why he was that far in. There was no reason. There was no defender to draw him there. There was nothing in the read that should have put him where he was, and he was way too far, gets his quarterback drilled. I mean, that's just something you cannot do as a running back. Now, Ronald Jones still going to get some opportunities, but right now I really can't blame Bruce Arians for riding Leonard Fournette as much as they are and then using Gio Bernard in those third down and 2 minute situations. That's my first takeaway is that right now, unless it's dynasty, because Rojo still has some talent and there's a future there. Unless it's dynasty, in my opinion, you can drop Rojo from your fantasy football roster.
Yeah, I reluctantly would agree with you. And, you know, if you're lucky, maybe you can get him back on waivers if things start to turn around. But I'm going to shoot my dad a text here in a minute and be like, hey, you might want to drop Rojo and pick up somebody else. David, my first takeaway, and it's nice to kind of be vindicated by what we heard in the first segment, because, you know, full disclosure, you did not play those clips for me earlier today. I did not know that those were the audio clips that were going to be used. I didn't see the press conference or anything like that. But my first takeaway is that this defense is going to give up a lot of yards and a lot of points this year, but it's a product of their own doing. And Bruce Arians said it, teams are not running the football against them. What are they doing? They're throwing the ball. So that's going to lead to yards. That's going to lead to points. And it's because they are trying to avoid the pass rush. They're trying to avoid using their running backs because they know how good the Bucs run defense is. And so the pure correlation is it's going to lead to yards and points. I was critical of the secondary after week one. I still didn't think they played great against the Falcons, but I thought they looked better and they were still in a situation where they were giving up a lot of yards and the Falcons were making a comeback and getting in the end zone, which is something they couldn't do in week one. So, yeah, this defense is not going to be all worldly. It's not going to be the dominant force that it was in the postseason last year, but it's because they are so dominant that they're not going to be dominant, if that makes any sense at all.
It does, but I think, you know, at the same time, listen, the median, the average right now, I don't know what the exact average is for the NFL in points allowed, but right now the 16th ranked defense in points allowed, which is the middle of the NFL, right? 16th is half of 32, is 24.5 points. That's the Seattle defense. The Buccaneers are allowing 27. So they're allowing 2.5 sure. points more per game than the defense is that's in the middle of this whole thing. But they're being passed on more than any other defense in the National Football League, in a league that's designed to protect the quarterback, protect the pass catcher, and make sure the offense has every advantage in the world. So really, if you ask me, with everything, you know, being equal, they're doing really, really well considering the way that they're being attacked right now in the early part of the season.
Absolutely. All right. Well, David, this episode is free and on all platforms thanks to friends of ours like Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. It lets you save time and money when you head to RockAuto.com. Why choose to spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Those prices at RockAuto.com are reliably low for everybody. They have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts and tail lamps to motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Let me know if this sounds familiar to you guys out there. You've got one device that lets you catch the game live. Another lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you watch your favorite shows, movies, and sports all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. Again, that's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
James, this is Kevin from Orlando calling. I'm calling because, interesting, a Yahoo Sports article came around that I was able to see, and I just wondered about your opinion on it. So Tom Brady's been having a crazy good start this year, and the article is pretty much saying, is Peyton Manning's touchdown record in jeopardy for the single-season touchdown record? So I wanted to give a question to both of you over there. Would either of you make the bold prediction that Tom Brady will beat Peyton Manning's touchdown record of 55 touchdowns in 2013? Just wanted to know if any of you guys would take that or not. All right, talk with you later.
Wrapping things up here on a Takeaway Tuesday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. James Yarko, David Harrison on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucks, at @DHarrison82. Kevin, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Look, I actually wrote about this on my pick six that comes out the morning after every game. And I said that, you know, it's fun to think about the fact that 44-year-old Tom Brady is on pace right now, David, for 76.5 touchdowns this season. Yeah. So obviously he's not going to get to that number, but he actually does have a legitimate shot at Peyton Manning's single season record of 55. And I said in my article that the haters are going to say that the record wouldn't be real because Brady gets an extra game. But he only needs to average 3.3 touchdowns per game to break that record in 16 games.
Yeah.
So,
and the haters can kick rocks if he breaks it in 16 games.
Exactly. So it is not out of the realm of possibility. I don't know if I'm willing to say that it's going to happen and make that bold prediction, but it's absolutely looking like a possibility this year. So with that, David, we're going to get to our last two takeaways real quick. And my second takeaway is there's still too many stupid mistakes on offense, despite two high scoring performances. They haven't hit their groove yet. You heard, Bruce Arians say after the game on Sunday that they haven't played for 60 minutes. And Tyler from Boston called in about some of those stupid mistakes. You brought up the Ryan Jensen penalty. There's some boneheaded false starts. There's bad drops from Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Just too many dumb mistakes. It's not all penalties. Some of it is mental mistakes. So we haven't even seen this offense hit its peak yet. And when they do, oh my goodness. But it's still a work in progress. No team is firing on all cylinders in the first, two, 3 weeks of a season. So you want to see them continue to work on that and get into that groove that we saw help them rattle off 8 straight. But I mean, 9 straight games of scoring over 30 points and a 44-year-old quarterback who's going to throw for over 55 touchdowns. I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, the offense, you take away those Mike Edwards touchdowns and the offense is scoring 30 points a game to start a season. And they're not. And again, they're playing sloppy football right now. So, I mean, that doesn't tell you just where this team could go. I mean, I don't know what else does. And James, my final takeaway for this week coming out of the week 2 victory against the Atlanta Falcons, that Todd Bowles' creativity continues to shine through, even with players missing, even with, every week it's a different roster. I mean, we went through this earlier last season. It's like every single week you have a different defense on the field. And I mean, depending on what happens here with all the Richard Sherman speculation and everything else, Todd Bowles could have another new defense on the field for a third straight week. But no matter what, he's finding ways to make things happen. And I go to that second Mike Edwards pick 6 because that interception happened in the backfield, right? Mike Edwards intercepted Matt Ryan behind Matt Ryan. Well, why did that happen? Because Mike Edwards was coming on a safety blitz. Well, you know who else was coming on a blitz? Carlton Davis, the guy who got a hand on the ball. So you had Carlton Davis coming off the edge on one in a cornerback blitz. And then you had Mike Edwards coming on the other side on a safety blitz in a game that at that point really was felt like it was pretty much won. But you know what? It's not good enough. Let's go seal the game for real. So you have Carlton Davis coming on one side, Mike Edwards coming on one side. Oh, by the way, Vita Vea is not on the field. Steve McClendon and Nacho are dropping back in coverage, James. Defensive tackles are dropping in coverage against Matt Ryan in this quote-unquote high-flying Falcons offense with Kyle Pitts, the unicorn tight end, and Calvin Ridley out there running routes. And Carlton Davis is batting the ball down at the line with a left tackle in his face, and Mike Edwards is returning for a touchdown. Show me another defense where this happens. Todd Bowles' creativity continuing to shine through, even with the injuries that this defense is having, even with teams targeting them. I mean, he knows that teams are trying to pass against him at what could potentially be a record pace here in the season, and he's blitzing 2 defensive backs and dropping defensive tackles into coverage in the middle of the field. I mean, who else is doing that?
Oh, absolutely nobody. Absolutely nobody. Only Todd Bowles. But if you think about it, Todd Bowles might be the only one with that much talent front to back to be able to do those kinds of things. So with that,
Steve McClendon and Nacho are dropping into coverage, James.
And it's glorious, and I'm here for it. Don't you disparage the great name of Nacho. He can cover too.
After he's waving his hands in the air, listening to Miley Cyrus and Raymond James Stadium, which should have been flagged for taunting, apparently. That's according to my understanding of the rules, that should have been taunting.
Well, number one, it's because he's a defensive player and we only call taunting on defensive players. And number two, hey, it's a party in the USA. With that, we're going to get out of here, David. Thank you again to Tyler and Kevin for your voicemails. We have another one on deck. I'll use a baseball term. Another one on deck for tomorrow's episode with Evan Klosky. It's a WTSP Wednesday. But until then, of course, you can check out everything David and I are doing over at BucksNation.com. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts, just like Locked On Bets and Locked On Bucks and all shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are free and on all platforms. Send us your emails to lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. Send us your voicemails to 813-444-5841. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.